Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. These are the words of a song at the beginning of an entire album of songs that we commonly know as the Songs of Ascent, or more likely, Psalms 120 through 134. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for bringing us this far. We thank you for bringing us to the very edge of your new creation, making promises to us and showing us the way. And we pray that you will keep on bringing us into you and into your presence from this day, now, and forevermore. In the name of Jesus. Few things are more beautiful in this world than kept promises. In fact, even as I say that out loud, I can't think of many things more beautiful than that. I will bring you lunch, and then lunch shows up. I will be at your game, and then there they are, up in the stands. You will be my people, and I will be your God. And then we stand at the steps of the rebuilt temple. Have you ever heard that story of the people of God? It is a story of kept promises. I will take you out, and then I will bring you back in. That's the ongoing story of the people of God. That's not just one line in the Songs of Ascent. That's the whole story. You remember back the Exodus story that seems to dominate the entire Old Testament and a whole lot of the New? We meet the people in Egypt. There they are, situated in Egypt. They're in horrible circumstances. And then God starts talking through these people that he sends and says, I'm going to take you home. Now, what would you have thought if you were a person in slavery in Egypt? And some person gets up and says, we'll be leaving soon. When you grew up in slavery, I don't know how sarcastic the ancient peoples were, but I can't help but think that at least a few of them thought, yeah, right. We'll believe it when we see it. And then there they were, in the desert, and standing right on the edge of the promised land. And then you know what happens next. There they are, in the promised land, happy as can be, until it happens again. And then, in the north, Assyria, you can hear them coming. And Assyria shows up, grabs the people out of the north, takes them into Assyria. The people in the south were probably saying, yeah, they got what was coming to them, until Babylon came in, grabbed them out of Jerusalem, and took them to Babylon. That's where we meet Ezekiel, by the way. He's there on the river in Babylon, and the people were taken out. And then the Persian army kind of gets involved, but then these prophets start talking again, and they start saying the same things. We're going to take you home. You get to go home. And God is going to lead the way. I mean, you grew up in Babylon, and you knew what it was like to walk from Babylon into the rest of the Persian Empire. And I imagine you're probably thinking the same thing that your ancestors in Egypt thought. We'll believe it when we see it. And then guess what happens? They start walking again. And then they show up in Jerusalem and start rebuilding the second temple. Now that's two of the stories, but there's a third one. And the third one is identical. And it's the story that happens a little bit later in time, during Jesus and after Jesus, but it's still the same story. At one time, you were slaves to sin, but now you have been set free in Christ. That's the same exact story. The thing about it is that just like the Exodus story out of Egypt into the promised land. And just like the second Exodus story, out of Assyria and Babylon and Persia into the promised land, that one takes some time. At one time you were slaves, now you've been set free in Christ. That doesn't happen overnight. As a matter of fact, for most of us who live our lives as Christians, that takes place over a long period of time. Egypt to the promised land, Babylon to the promised land, slaves to sin, set free in Christ. This is Lord of the Rings without all the scenery. This is a whole lot of walking, and then there's some more walking. Because that's what happens out of Egypt into the promised land. That's what happens out of Assyria, Babylon, and the Persian Empire into the promised land. And the same exact thing happens. Slaves to sin, set free in Christ. Those first two stories are such a part of the people of God, and so hopeful of the third story to come as they hope for the Messiah, that they could only respond in one way. And here's the really cool thing, is that it was the same exact way the people have always responded when overwhelmed by sadness, by hope, by love, and by any other powerful emotion for that matter. You know what people do when they get overwhelmed by sadness, hope, love, and powerful emotions? Doesn't matter. This is a universal. This is like smiling. It's as universal as the human smile. You know what people do when they're overwhelmed? They write songs. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter time, place. They write songs about it. These are the songs of people like Robert Johnson and Bonnie Raitt and Paul Simon. Songs that reflect our time, what we're going through, and our hopes for a better world to come. But you know what happens? The world comes, and it isn't any better. You ever notice that? About these songs? They sound so great. They tell us to imagine a world where all these people are living in peace. And we go ahead and we say, okay, we'll do it. We'll imagine. And then the world shows up and it's not any better. And so you know what you do when that happens? You write more songs. That is the nature of our story. They keep writing songs. We keep hoping for a new creation. This is our story. This is our song. This is Paul Simon writing Graceland and hoping for a much bigger world where he has reason to believe we all will be received. This is the Beatles singing, "Here Comes the Sun." This is the hope of Fleetwood Mac praying, "Can I handle the changing ocean tides?" And their answer is our answer on most days. Because you know what their answer is? I don't know. This is why the collection we know as the Songs of Ascent in the Psalms help us to know, build our faith, and tell the story of those who went before us and did the hard work of living everyday life, choosing to put faith in God to lead us to a place they could not yet see. I don't know about you, but if you've done this living as a Christian thing for more than a few months, you've started catching on that this is kind of the common refrain of the Christian life. That God is leading us to a world that we've heard about, that we hope in, that we can kind of see glimpses of, but we're not quite there yet. See, even when the people got to the promised land after a few different journeys through history, there remained this ultimate promised land that we keep hoping for, the place where we have reason to believe that we all will be received. These songs of ascent that start in 120 and 121, and you may remember back from a few weeks ago, for those of you who remember when we were in 120, 121, 120 starts with some disorientation, and 121 says, oh, you have reason to hope that 120 through 134, this is one of the rare times where you have 15 psalms that not only all fit together, but they're a concept album. They tell a story from beginning to end. Because ideally, and this is kind of a work of imagination, but it makes sense for the people in exile, no matter where they were, to start with 120 and 121. Probably, as the text itself indicates, they are there by a river, and it's not theirs. They are somewhere other than home. You ever feel like that? Even when you're home, even when you're situated, that you're somewhere else, that God is leading somewhere, and you hope that it is somewhere good, because God said it's going to be good. And like the ancient people in Egypt, in Assyria, in Babylon, our human response, and it's okay for it to be a natural human response, which says, yeah, right, it sounds good, hadn't seen it yet, but God, you keep talking, and I promise I'm going to keep listening, even on the days when it's not easy to listen. That's 120 and 121. And then, by the time you get to the very end of the Songs of Ascent in 134, at least the way that the people of God told these stories, the song that makes up Psalm 134, you know how that song goes? It's a song that they're singing while they are walking up the steps of the newly rebuilt temple. I know what it's like to live in 120 and 121, and I know what it's like to hope in 134. And truth be told, as someone who confesses Jesus as Lord and who has dedicated my life to being a professional Christian, I don't feel 120 and 121 that much anymore, because I'm not by a river in ancient Babylon. Jesus has done something that has at least started the ball in motion that we're not in 120 and 121. That's the good news. We're not there. It's not bad news, but it's news that says we're not there yet, is that 134, we're not there yet. 130 is close. It's not quite there. And in many ways, if we are to read these 15 songs, listen to this entire concept album, the one song that seems to make the most sense, the one where we go, oh, okay, that's what it feels like. Because God has done something through the ages. Jesus has done something to set something in motion. But 130, that's what it feels like. It's that Jesus brings us closer to the completion of God's salvation, to the completion of creation. We can almost see it. It's vivid in our imaginations. We're not quite there yet. We still have a little ways to go. What 130 feels like is that the temple has been rebuilt. And we can see it. We're standing right in front of it. But we are at the bottom of the steps, looking up at this newly rebuilt place of the presence of the Almighty God, and we're at the ribbon-cutting ceremony. Today's the grand opening. And some guy who, you know, looks like he has a really good relationship with God steps forward carrying the cartoonishly, ridiculously large scissors. You've seen those, right? At ribbon-cutting ceremonies. This is 130. He steps up, and the scissors open, and that's where we are. That's 130. It's standing at the bottom of the stairs in our imaginations, but it's not quite time to climb. And I can't help but believe that as the church who confesses Jesus as Lord. When I say the church, I really mean that, the church. all of it. We are one outpost in this place that is a bigger part of an even bigger the church. But this is where we are. And I think our mission is quite clear. I don't think Jesus minces words on this. I don't think the Old Testament is unclear. I don't think the writings of the New Testament are unclear, nor do I think that the good parts of the history of Christianity are unclear. Our mission is to welcome people to join us at the bottom of the stairs because we know what awaits us at the top. This is not something about waiting in uncertainty. This is about us waiting in hope. We hope, but not for something arbitrary. Because I know Christianity can feel that way sometimes. I know following Jesus sometimes can feel like waiting on something arbitrary. You know, we're waiting. What are you waiting for? We don't know. It's something to do with God. Jesus makes all these promises and they sound really good and we'll understand it by and by. No. No, goodness gracious. It's so much better than that. I assure you, it is so much better than we'll understand it by and by. Now, you can understand it now. You can understand it today. Yeah, we're standing at the bottom of the stairs. They haven't cut the ribbon yet, but the mission is clear. As we're standing at the bottom of the stairs, and people come and they say, "What in the world is going on?" You know what our job is as the church, as the people of Jesus? It's to say, come and see for yourself. And come with us. Because it's going to be good. This is not waiting with uncertainty. This is waiting in hope. We hope that something might happen. We hope that those who have given us reason to believe in a promised land gave us reason to believe because God, throughout past and present, has kept His promises. We hope for a new creation. We hope in faith that Jesus will finish the work unto completion. And as we stand at the bottom of the stairs in the middle of the album, right before the guy takes his cartoonishly ridiculously large scissors and cuts the ribbon, he turns around and says, "Start singing." And so we do. And this is the way the song goes. We call it Psalm 130. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning." More than those who watch for the morning. "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is great power to redeem. It is He who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, with Him is great power to redeem." Wait for it. Hope for it. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is great power to redeem. Let us wait together.
Let us hope together. Amen.